Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Rage. I am Morenci. SiriusXM Channel 159. What a save by Cooper. Wow. Wow, I can't. I'm just blown away that Vancouver actually beat TFC and won this thing. And are going to the CONCACAF. Great stuff. I'm seeing the highlights right now. I watched it on a stream. And my stream was like, it's ironic because I'm literally like a kick away from the game. But I couldn't get it on TV. They sold the rights to a network nobody gets. All right. I wanted to get to something. I mean, it would be a good poll question, actually. I'm going to put it up for tomorrow, actually, all day, so we get some responses for this. But I'll ask you, Matthias, because I know it was a punch in the gut to see Julio Jones. So what do you think of Julio Jones right now in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? We're going to get to this. So Julio Jones signs a one-year deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, in fact, Jones in his career lit them up. Jones against Tampa in his career, 1,841 receiving yards, most all-time, 114 receptions, tied for most all-time, and 11 receiving touchdowns, second most all-time. So he's torched Tampa over the years. Now he's on Tampa, but they are a division rival. I'd say, Matthias, listen, I'm not a Falcon fan, but I would say for me personally, like, the Saints are the hated team more, right? Like, the Saints are the traditional Falcons rival. So seeing him in a Saint uniform would probably hurt more, I would think. But what do you think of him with the Bucs now?
Oh, Gabe, it hurts. It stings. I got to admit, lifelong Falcon fan. At the same time, yeah, the Saints are a bigger rival, but the Bucks, I don't want to let them off the swing or something. You know, I don't want to let them off the hook. Absolutely not. I have some bad blood with the Bucks as well, but yeah, I'm happy for Julio. You know, forget about the fan talk. The guy's going to be a good guy in the locker room. You know, he's going to bring professionalism. He's a no-nonsense guy, and he gives Brady, you know, another nice weapon when somebody has a soft coverage on him. He's going to be able to read defenses, find the holes, and make some good, easy catches sometimes. He's not the same old Julio Jones. Don't get it twisted. But he's definitely going to bring, you know, his personality and his professionalism into that locker room. And that's something that he always brought to the Falcons. You never saw Julio, you know, with the drama TMZ scene. You know, he likes to fish. He likes to play football. And he likes to keep it professional.
No, he is. He will be able to. One thing with Julio Jones now with this football team is he's not expected to be the number one guy, right? I mean, we're talking about a team that has Chris Godwin. We're talking about a team that, I mean, Godwin's the new Julio Jones, so to speak. So, you know, they've got Godwin as their guy. Mike, you know, Evans is the red zone guy still. Godwin's the guy that Brady throws the ball to the most when he's healthy. But as you stated, so you have Julio out there. He can just sort of thing with Julio Jones is too. Like I said, they don't need to run him into the ground. He doesn't need to carry the team throughout the year. For Julio Jones to be a success, he just needs to make a couple of big plays a game for them. And, you know, so they have depth in the playoffs, too. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morency. The pips, the players, the hustlers, the people above them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. It's level three. Countdown to kickoff is on. And it's getting real right now, isn't it? We talk about these kickoffs all the time and countdowns and stuff, but it's coming next Thursday. So we're basically 8 days away right now from the start of the National Football League preseason. Of course, the news today from the National Football League, Cincinnati Bengal quarterback Joe Burrow, somebody we've been talking a lot about. We were just talking about him for MVP at 12-1. Has to have an appendectomy. So somewhat of a minor procedure, but still might be out for 2 to 4 weeks as far as activities are concerned. And we're not all that far off from the season right now when you consider that August is around the corner. Unfortunate news from Seattle. Seattle Seahawks, Chris Carson, plans to retire from the National Football League due to a neck injury. Carson, an extremely talented football player, just one injury after another, been unable to stay on the field. It's an unfortunate end to Chris Carson's career. We wish him the best. Of course, they drafted Kenneth Walker out of Michigan State. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of stuff that you could say that isn't very good or nice about the Seattle Seahawks situation right now. But Kenneth Walker is not one of them. Kenneth Walker, I think, listen, this guy can ball, man. I might be wrong. I'm not an NFL scout, but when you see this guy run, you see him attack, like I said, I think people are sleeping on just how good he can be. And in fact, if he wasn't in a situation that he was in, I think he could be in the mix for a potential Rookie of the Year run. Like I said, this guy, you know, this guy lit up the Michigan Wolverines like a spliff on the back of Snoop Dogg's tour bus. And the Michigan Wolverine defense was damn good, and they couldn't stop him. All right, like he's a legitimate back, this guy. But it's unfortunate for Carson. He's only 27 years old. Just somebody that, you know, just couldn't, you know, one injury after another. But there's more to life than playing in the National Football League. He's made some money, and he's got the rest of his life ahead of him. Right now, we wish Chris Carson the best. The Late Night Anger Management Class. The underdogs keep barking, attacking, biting, mauling. On the diamond, Steve Merrill steps up and in. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
The Twisted Tuesday continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, SiriusXM Channel 159, a Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, and a 50,000-watt juggernaut, the loudest station in the nation. Let's do this thing. What's up, SoCal? We talked college football earlier in the program with Anthony Trache from Pro Football Focus. Now let's bring in Steve Merrill. We'll talk some football. We'll talk some baseball. Steve, good to have you back. Always a pleasure, Steve Merrill. ProSportsInfo.com, WagerTalk.com. Always a pleasure, Steve. How you doing tonight?
Hey, Gabe. Doing well, man.
So, Steve, countdown to kickoff is on right now. The preseason starts next week. But we've been talking college football tonight, and I saw an interesting tweet from Dave Purdom over at ESPN. He covers the, you know, the sports betting scene. He says teams that have attracted the most $1,000 bets to win the college football national title this year, Alabama, 27. So we know how many, right? So Alabama, 27 wagers. Ohio State, 26. Clemson, 6. Texas A&M, 4. USC Trojans, 3. Utah State, 3. And when I saw the tweet, I actually, I'm sure like you, were thinking right now, like, you must mean Utah, right? Like, okay, I could see some, I could see somebody saying, yeah, the Utah Utes, right? I mean, some people, the Utes are top 5, top 16 coming into the season in the polls. But no, and people asked him on Twitter, and no, it's actually Utah State, Steve. So do you know something about Utah State that nobody else in the world knows, or these three people? No, it's got to be Rich Alum. Rich Alum in Vegas. So yeah, three people have put over $1,000 or more on the Utah State Aggies to win the national championship. And Dave was going back and forth with people, and people were saying they're surprised that there's not more wagers than this. And listen, you know, the season is still a month and a half away, but at the same point in time, I sort of get it, Steve. I mean, Alabama at plus 180 right now. How many people want to put $5,000 up to hold on until, you know, January 8th or 9th or something like that? And at those type of odds at plus 180, it's just not worth it. And it's not like long shots ever win the college football championship. So you're sort of forced to bet on chalk.
Yeah, first of all, Utah State, I believe, was 50-1 last year to win the conference, and they won as a 6.5-point dog against San Diego State, 46-13. So some people, if they had that bet last year, made some serious money. Maybe they're rolling it over. They got confused on the bet they were making. But they were probably the best long-shot future bet in all of college football last year, actually, was Utah State. So that's interesting. You know, maybe they're thinking there that this year Cincinnati, the, you know, the mid-major, the non-power five, they could sneak in. And with those other teams that you mentioned, like a Texas A&M or somebody else, I mean, that is part of the value and the strategy, I think, when playing these futures, is that you want to just try to get the final four, because then you can always hedge out. The problem, though, with Alabama, like you said, when it's less than 2-1, you can't hedge out. And on top of that, your money is tied up for the next 5.5 months, even longer if you played it earlier this summer. You know, for basically a 2-1 payoff, you're better off just money line parlaying the last couple games, probably. And then the final thought is that, you know, I don't think many sharps play the futures because there's not a lot of value for that reason. We've talked about this in all the NCAA tournaments over the decades. We've done shows and everything else that you're usually better off just doing a money line parlay on several games instead of tying your money up, and you get a better return with less risk, and you can always hedge out or get out whenever you want. So I think that's another reason you don't see a lot of big money bets, because the sharps just aren't playing these markets.
I think, and each sport is different, right? But collegiately, you can't really make an argument for too many teams, right? You know what I mean? Like, look, Texas is 80-1. Are Texas winning the championship? No. I mean, look at the odds. You got Alabama plus 180, Ohio State 3-1, Georgia plus 350, Clemson 8-1, Steve, and then there's a drop to USC at 20-1.
Right. So they basically are telling you the four already. Why even play the season, right? I mean, it's like those are solid four favorites right there.
Stuff happens, though. Stuff happens. Out of these teams, who do you think is the most likely to stumble? For me, I will say Georgia, just because they lost so much. And Georgia haven't proven that they're able to win a championship and just reload. I'm not ready to put them on Alabama's level yet, or Ohio State, where it's like, yeah, okay, they're going to reload. You know, I guess they could. I wouldn't. I'm not saying that they're not appropriately audited. I guess you can make an argument at 25-1 that Texas A&M is worth a play if you're buying into it. They are loaded, right?
I think any team from the SEC is worth a look at longer odds, right? You know, like even LSU with Burrow a few years ago, I forget what their odds were, but they were not one of the four favorites. You know, he came out of nowhere. I agree with where you're going with Georgia, because both Alabama and Georgia, same conference, obviously different divisions. And they don't play each other again this year in the regular season, but it's still, they got a lot of tough games there. The one that we keep talking about at 8-1 is Clemson. I think there's some value there just due to the fact they have such an easier road to get to that Final Four, being in the much weaker ACC. And I know they were down last year, But as we've talked about on the show, you know, that loss against Georgia in week one, 10-3, sure doesn't look as bad. This team went a perfect 6-0, 5-1 against the spread their last six games. I think they were probably playing as well as anybody in the country. Now, granted, that was against a weak schedule, but they have a lot of talent. This is a team, you know, that has been in the national title mix for almost a decade straight. Kind of feel like Clemson all of a sudden is a team flying under the radar this season.
I would agree at 8-1 when you compare the numbers that we're just discussing, guys. Alabama plus 180, Ohio State 3-1, Georgia plus 350. Then you get into Clemson at 8-1, and we all know I'm not a gardener, I'm not a hedger, and I'm not a fan of the movie Edward Scissorhands. But if you get Clemson at 8-1 and they make it to the playoffs, guys, you're putting yourself in a nice position, right, Steve? So that's sort of what it's about. And then you have options moving forward. And it's not like Clemson would be massive underdogs against somebody, so you would have a hedge opportunity.
Exactly right. And let's not forget, their defense was really good last year. You know, everyone thinks what a down season it was.
Yeah, it was elite.
Right, and they still went 10-3 straight up. You know, that's a pretty good season.
And, Steve, well, you're the number 10-3, too, and I don't want to be redundant with this because I brought it up. But, Steve, how many other teams play Georgia to a 10-3 game? Georgia messed everybody up.
Right, and that was one of their losses. They went 10-2 in all other games. They lost by 6 to NC State and by 10 at Pittsburgh, a bad loss. But they always have one bad loss every year, like Pitt or at Syracuse, and that always seems to happen at Clemson. But they gave up only 15 points last year. Really good defensive team. The problem was the offense. They went from scoring 44 points or more three straight seasons to just 26 last year. However, they got 9 starters back, and the offense did put up 30 or more in 5 of those final 6 games that I talked about. So I really do think Clemson's going to be back to that Class A level this year.
I agree. And we talk about the path, the path to get there. The ACC is obviously a manageable path. And if you look at their non-conference games, they're playing against Furman. They're playing against Louisiana Tech. So, you know, there's no need. You know, if you're Clemson, there's no need to get crazy and schedule early season games. Some teams will do it. I don't think Clemson has to do it. I think they have the path there. And, Steve, they get NC State at home this year. So, that you know, it's NC State at Clemson. They do go to Notre Dame.
Right.
They host Miami, Florida late. Other than that, though, Steve, like, really, if you look at the schedule, like, Clemson at Georgia Tech, Furman at Clemson, Louisiana Tech at Clemson, Clemson against Wake Forest, NC State, Clemson, Clemson, Boston College, Clemson at Florida State, Syracuse at Clemson, Clemson at Notre Dame, Louisville at Clemson, Miami at Clemson, South Carolina at Clemson. It's a little challenging at the end here. You know, they play Spencer Rattler and a Gamecocks late, but yeah, it's a manageable schedule.
Well, here's the thing, too, is that last year they got off to the slow start, finished strong, as we've talked about, 6-0 straight up, 5-1 ATS. All the tough games you just mentioned are basically November, you know, so they'll have a couple months to make sure things are going better this year. So that sets up well. The one tough road game, they only have 4 true road games. The one at Notre Dame is November 5th. It's after a bye week, so that's a great scheduling spot. And then 3 final home games, Louisville, Miami, and South Carolina, very difficult opponents could be. But once again, it's the final month of the season, and they played so much better. It just, it's really setting up well for Clemson to have a bounce-back season. It's a soft early season schedule, manageable road games. It's kind of got everything you want, and a weak conference overall in the ACC.
I can't disagree. I cannot disagree. Steve Merrill kicking with us. So Clemson Tigers 8-1 at FanDuel. Right now, quick recap: Alabama plus 180, Ohio State 3-1, Georgia plus 350, Clemson 8-1.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
USC Trojans 20-1, A&M 25-1, Oklahoma Sooners, a football team that I wouldn't sleep on either. Very similar to Clemson. I think they have a manageable schedule. They've got the former Clemson defensive coordinator, and Venables is their new head coach. They got Dylan Gabriel as their quarterback. And I think people are sleeping on the Oklahoma Sooners in the big picture at 50-1 as well. The late night anger management class continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The late night anger management class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency, SiriusXM Channel 159, the Money or 1090 ESPN Radio. We're kicking it with Steve Merrill, WagerTalk.com, ProSportsInfo.com. Let's talk baseball right now. We're post All-Star break, and it's an interesting dynamic to see. Some teams have cooled off coming out of the break, and some teams have been on fire. One team that is scorching hot right now offensively, the Toronto Blue Jays. The Blue Jays have scored 50 runs in four games since the All-Star break. They're just the second team since the All-Star game began in 1933 to score 50 runs in their first four games out of the break, joining the Braves from 2006. Blue Jays are the definition of the speeding bullet offensively right now, Steve.
Yeah, and look, you know, I mean, it shouldn't surprise anybody. They were one of the bigger underachievers in the first half. You know, they were one of the top 3 to 5 World Series favorites. You had Dodgers, Yankees, and then, you know, Blue Jays were in that top 5 mix preseason, and they were struggling just to make the wild card. So not a surprise they've broken out. You know, another team we talked about a lot, I know Teddy Covers has mentioned them. You and I have talked about them. You know, the White Sox, we thought maybe they'll make a run here in the second half. So we'll see what other teams break out. But obviously the Blue Jays were a team that had underachieved. They're getting back on track now like they should.
Well, you know, they fired the manager of the Blue Jays, but don't forget, Steve, they were actually in the wild card spot.
Right.
They were actually in the wild card spot when they let the guy go, and they're on fire now. I think that they would have played better anyways. If you look at the Blue Jays schedule, they played against the Royals going into the All-Star break, you know, and the Royals were shorthanded. The St. Louis Cardinals without Goldschmidt, without Arenado. Everybody's beating up on Boston right now. So the Blue Jays, but hey, you got to beat the team, Steve, that they put in front of you, and they're taking advantage of teams when they're down right now. And the Blue Jays are very good at that. The Blue Jays are good at kicking you when you're down, the Blue Jays. That's what they're good at.
Well, they're also good at winning at home. You know, they've got a little bit of an edge with the whole, you know, border issue and the vaccine thing still, I guess, even though they lost as a $4 favorite, you know, in Kansas City had to sit 10
guys out. Yeah, you can't really say they had an advantage. Right. They lost the game.
How crazy was that? And then, of course, the Dodgers was more minus 300 on Monday night. They lose outright to the Nationals after sweeping the Giants in four games. So it just shows that, you know, baseball teams do let down as big favorites. But Toronto is still 31-19 at home, 23-24 away. So it has been a pretty big home road dichotomy.
They've always been a good home team, though, right? They have a passionate fan base. They have a pretty large attendance. You know, they have been a good home team. We saw it last year when they got back to Toronto in August, because don't forget they played in Florida and they played in Buffalo their home games up until like late August, September, and the Blue Jays just killed it when they got back to Toronto. Boston Red Sox have been getting killed, trending in the wrong direction. We took them last night and we cashed a ticket. I went back to them tonight thinking, you know what, maybe they're able to get on a little bit of a run here right now after getting pummeled. But the fact is, it seems to every time Winkowski's on the hill, they seem to get killed, Steve. So they lost 8-3 tonight.
Well, and how about this? They're now in last place. The Baltimore Orioles are now 49-48, a half a game ahead of the Red Sox and 10 net runs better. Baltimore is now officially in fourth place. I bring that up because I like Tampa Bay tonight minus the 1.5. And when it was 3-2 in the eighth, I'm thinking, darn it, I wish I'd just played the money line. And then when the Orioles got 3 runs and a third of an inning in the bottom of the eighth to win outright, I was glad I had the run line. But it was a really misleading win. The Orioles had 5 runs on 5 hits tonight, Gabe. The Devil Rays had 3 runs on 12 hits. Best pitcher in baseball, McClanahan, gave up 2 hits in 7 innings. Baltimore's Watkins gives up 10 hits in 5 innings. And the Orioles win 5-3. One of the more misleading wins you're going to see all week.
Yeah, but they found a way.
They did.
they found a way. 3 games out of a wild card spot, the Baltimore Orioles. Although I don't really view them as legitimate wild card contenders moving forward. New York Yankees, Steve, we knew they couldn't play at the clip that they were playing at, obviously, right? They weren't going to play at that level all season long yet. They're showing some cracks right now, and they've showed some cracks going into the All-Star break as well, Steve. What's your take on the New York Yankees, and is there value betting against this team right now? Because they're going to be favored like a team that's 35, 40 games over 500, but truth be told, they're actually playing more like a 500 team, Steve.
Yeah, below 500, their last 10, just 4-6 now. The Blue Jays, as you've mentioned, 9-1, their last 10, 7 straight, and the Blue Jays are still 11.5 games behind the Yankees.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the Yankees know this. They could play 500 ball for the rest of the year, Steve, and win 108 games or 110 games or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you almost have to wonder if Toronto was a little sluggish to start the season because they got down so fast that, you know, how did that affect the other teams maybe? And I don't, you know, once again, the Blue Jays have the third best record in the American League and they're 11.5 out in their own division. So it's such a weird dynamic.
They probably don't look at it, to be honest, knowing that probably they're not in the playoffs. You know what I mean?
I mean, at this point, well, for about a month now, and I mean, this is a team that's won 9 out of 10. They're still 11.5 back. So you got to figure they've been playing for the wild card for over a month now, as they should be.
Well, that's all you can do is handle your business, right? Like, you're like, okay, let's just make sure that we're in as well. That's all we can worry about.
Well, and as you know, Gabe, I mean, a lot of the listeners might forget there's an extra wild card spot this year. So, you know, it's more manageable than ever to make it, you know, in three. You could literally have four AL East teams in the playoffs, which is just crazy, but they deserve it. But I think Toronto's going to be an interesting team going forward. And I think the Yankees definitely going to have some load management. It's going to be kind of like handicap in the NBA. You know, Aaron Judge, for example, he's hitting a lot of home runs, but, you know, do you really want to have to play him every day if you have a 10-game lead like in late August?
All right, Steve, what do you think about the overnight numbers as far as the early games tomorrow? The Atlanta Braves with Morton on the hill, -156 against Gibson, and the Philadelphia Phillies. Phillies won last night, lost tonight. They got swept by the Cubs over the weekend. The Braves have been scorching hot, so they bounce back off the loss. They're laying 56 cents overnight. San Diego with Yu Darvish on the hill against Skubal. Friars, -132, Steve. The total is 7 there. What do you think about the two morning games?
Well, first thing about the Padres, they were in a bad spot Monday because they had to play the night game against New York Sunday Night Baseball and then travel to Detroit, a interleague game, and they got smoked on Monday. So I kind of put a little bit of an asterisk next to that loss. And both teams hit the ball very well, so I was curious to see if they'd bounce back. They did bounce back Tuesday night with that 6-4 win. So I think that could be the buy sign for San Diego on Wednesday as well.
Yeah.
That's an early 1 o'clock Eastern start. And as you mentioned, Braves and Phillies, probably the second-best series this week after the Yankees-Mets series that started on Tuesday. And these are two really good offensive teams. I'm always kind of leaning towards the over with them, and we got a 6-3 game that squeaked over the total Tuesday night.
Steve Merrill kicking it with us. Steve, what about the Milwaukee Brewers? Good baseball team, not great. The Cardinals, though, can't seem to catch them. They've been basically, I don't know, Steve, if you look at the standings, they've been two and a half games behind them all year long, it feels like. But at the same point in time, you know, I remember years ago, and I'm not talking about the Gorman Thomas years, but I'm talking, you know, 5 years ago, whatever, in a three to five year window, the Brewers used to be sort of a value team, Steve. Right? People didn't really bet on them. Their futures were low coming into the regular season with their win totals. But people are, you know, because their pitchers are so good. Yeah, I guess where I'm going with this is, Steve, the Brewers are overpriced a lot, right? Like, the Brewers are overpriced. And, like, would you trust the Brewers at -200 with even though it is Burns on the hill here against the Minnesota Twins at +168? Because I think that number's too high.
Yeah, it's funny. That was the team last year, if you remember, Gabe, was my futures pick. You were getting Milwaukee anywhere from like 12-1, even 8-1 late in the season. I said, if they make the playoffs, they're going to be really dangerous. And I said that with the Nationals in 2019, just because with Burns and Woodruff going like 4 out of 7 in any series, you've got a chance. So they're not a great regular season team because offensively they can be challenged at times. But I still think Milwaukee, if they win this division, like you said, only up a couple games right now, is going to be a dangerous playoff team. Cardinals are interesting, though. Dave Koken mentioned this today on MLB First Pitch on WagerTalk.com, and I've heard it on some other networks tonight as well. Cardinals are in the mix for Juan Soto. Last week, before the All-Star break ended, they were at 7-1. They were like 7th on that list. The two New York teams were favored. But Cardinals look like they're going to be buyers. They're going to be making a push. And, you know, could Soto be the difference to make up the two-game gap?
The Cardinals are the media front runners. Yet, you know, Steve, what often, you know, it's always a team, isn't it, that no one's talking about, right? Like that, I think that'll surprise everybody on this. But listen, that is a key. Oftentimes where a player ends up isn't going to move the number that much. But we saw with Russell Wilson with the Broncos, there's certain people that are big enough to move the needle. I think Soto is that guy, right?
Oh yeah.
If you're able to figure out which team. But honestly, like, put it this way, like, if he ends up on the Yankees or the Dodgers, what difference does it make? They're already plus 300 and plus 350 or whatever, right? Are they going to move to 250? Right, but it's a good point as far as the Cardinals, or if he ends up on the Mariners or San Diego, right?
Well, yeah, and something else to look at, you know, of course, is wins above replacement, and at least offensive wins above replacement. He's almost four on the season already. He was seven last year. So even if you get him for a couple months, he's worth at least two wins on average, and that's exactly what the Cardinals are trailing right now. So, yeah, I mean, he really could be that much of a difference maker for a team.
Crazy, the Cardinals once again. What a massive price. What a massive price the Blue Jays are laying here. So tomorrow night, guys, Kevin Gausman on the hill for the Blue Jays. And as we stated, they scored 50 runs in their first four games out of the All-Star break. Wainwright is on the hill for the Birds here, Steve. But the Blue Jays, overnight number right now at FanDuel, -250. -250, Cardinals +205. Total is 8.
Yeah, you can get that down, obviously, substantially with the -1.5 run line. And as you know, I have no problem playing run lines with good offensive teams in good form like Toronto. In fact, since the All-Star break, every one of their wins has been by 3 runs or more. So if you're going to play Toronto, you definitely play the -1.5. And Wainwright is a guy for 15-plus years now has been a better pitcher at home at Busch Stadium than on the road. So there's a lot pointing to Toronto still.
Steve Merrill, wagertalk.com, prosportsinfo.com. Good to have you back, Steve. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch up later in the week, and we'll do the TV show.
Yeah, Friday night. Let's do it.
We'll hit the weekend action, some motorsport. Maybe Soto's going to have a new team by then. Maybe we'll know.
August 2nd's the deadline, right? So that's, yeah, what, next Tuesday? So when we're doing this next Tuesday on the radio, we will know.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, it'll be the deadline. The deadline will be done, and now.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Next time when we speak next Tuesday, the first NFL preseason game will be less than 48 hours away.
Ooh.
As well with the Raiders and the Jags in the Hall of Fame game. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What's the dumbest bet I ever heard of?
I disagree.
Late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. Pimps the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them. Thanks to Steve Merrill for joining us. Sirius XM channel 159 to Money or 1090. ESPN Radio. Shout out to our AM radio affiliates in the late night hours on the East Coast. We're still early on the West. Countdown continues right now. Yeah, NFL season's around the corner, man. The NFL season's around the corner. The NFL preseason starts next Thursday. Totals 33.5 for the last five Hall of Fame games have gone under 33.5 points scored. And the Raiders right now are 2-point favorites in this game. Now, as far as college football, we were talking, and I wanted to get back to some of these college football futures, actually, because it was an interesting conversation with Merrill. Alabama is plus 180 to win the championship. There's no reason whatsoever to play this. And in fact, like, basically, if you look at Alabama, they usually lose a game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, how many times has Saban gone undefeated? And, like, people, you know, people just assume that Alabama are going to run the table all the time. Remember last year, guys? Remember last year I gave you with our college football futures, we're going to start really getting into this now. And you know, let's start, like, next week type thing. But I basically said, like, the win total was 11.5 for Alabama. So, in other words, they had to run the table at even money. It's not a good proposition. I don't care what program you are and stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, to run the table. And Ohio State was the same thing. Remember, Ohio State lost, like, the first game. Didn't they lose to the Ducks? Like, they lost, like, right away. I won my future in week one, like, type of thing. Because Ohio State was 11.5. It was like, all right, one loss, and they're done. And, you know, you look, you're like, they could lose here, they could lose there, right? And they lost to Michigan. So, nothing is a sure shot. So, I understand why there hasn't been a ton of action on Alabama. We should say big money on Alabama. So Alabama's at plus 180. Ohio State is 3-1. I think that Ohio State are extremely dangerous. I swear to God, man, this sign behind me is going to be the death of me. Fortunately, it's like only like plastic and stuff. It's not like... It's not glass or some of my luck. I don't know, it'll find a way to still cut me open. Listen, Ohio State are extremely dangerous, man. Like, they're loaded. They got a chip on their shoulder. But at the same point in time, they can still slip up. Like, we've seen Ohio State over the last couple of years sort of morph into this super powerhouse offensive team that will give up some points defensively. They used to be, you know, they used to be a little bit stingier on the defensive side of the football than they've become, right? Like, you can throw, you know what I mean? You can run on these guys, right? We saw the Michigan Wolverines run on them. Basically, if you look at Ohio State, they got a bunch of real, like, badass defensive backs, right? But they've also got a bunch of big dudes on the line. Like I said, you can run on Ohio State a bit. So Ohio State are good, but also they're vulnerable. They could slip up along the way. Interesting game against Notre Dame. No value with Georgia at plus 350. All right, so now let's get into Clemson. Clemson at 8-1. Clemson's schedule is kind of tricky at the end of the year. But they are an extremely, listen, they're an extremely well-coached football team. Did you know, this is a crazy, I want to get to this, actually. I want to get the number right here. I think I did save this, actually. Did you know that basically nobody's ever transferred from Clemson? Like, what does that, like, basically say about the program? Like, okay, where is it here? With Dabo Sweeney. Let's see. Oh, no. Where is it? All right, here we go. Yeah, here we go. We've had 109 guys go through spring. 109 guys are still here. Not one person left. There are 65. There are 65 power conference teams. There are only four. Only four teams did not have one single player leave. Who are the other ones I'd like to see? That is unbelievable, huh? That not like so. Like, it's we've talked about this in the past, actually. I brought this up about Clemson. There's something about this place that, like, when recruits go there, they don't leave. I don't know, man. Like, the girls must be, like, really hot. Because Dabo's not really paying them. Like, you know what I mean? And they don't have, like, a ton of big money boosters. They've got money, but they don't have Texas money. They don't really have Alabama money. Like, Clemson, what Clemson have done really is kind of, like, super impressive. I think, like, the common fan looks at Clemson and sort of thinks, like, yeah, all right, they have, like, everything, and, like, they're just sort of this power and stuff, but they're really not. They weren't. Like, if you recall, man, these guys got massacred in the Orange Bowl against West Virginia, you know, not that long ago. And basically, they were like, never again. And they invested a little bit more. But say what you will about Dabo Sweeney, but he's one of these, like, rah-rah guys that it actually works with. And this is actually unbelievable as well, as far as Clemson is concerned. 98% graduation rate. You can say the same thing about Hawaii, right, Timotheus? You guys, 98% graduation rate?
Actually, Gabe, yeah, you know what? That they had that going not that long ago. A couple seasons ago, that was a big high mark on them. They actually had a great season, but they had a high graduation rate.
I asked our boy Brian. Brian used to be one of the dudes that worked the morning show at the New York studio. And I asked him, because he talked about West Virginia. He's like, Mountaineers, baby. And he had a Mountaineer hat on and stuff. And he went there, right? We're like, oh, did you go there? He goes, yeah, I went there. And I asked him who's the best. I said, did you go there or did you graduate there? And it was like a little bit of a pause. He goes, I went there. He didn't actually finish it off. So yeah, Clemson, Duke, and Northwestern. Wow. 98% graduation rate. Yeah, so to me, listen, Dabo Sweeney, it just goes to show about the program they're running, though. The fact that they've had 109 players, like, there, and not one kid said, this place sucks. Like, not one kid said, you know what, I can go make some money, more money somewhere else. Right? Or not one kid. Like, it is kind of crazy. Not one kid said, you know what, I don't like this guy. Or, this isn't what I thought it was going to be here. Like, like I said, man, there's something about that place, man. I don't know what they're putting in the Kool-Aid out there in South Carolina, but once you go to Clemson, you don't leave. It's like Hotel California. Welcome to the Hotel Clemson. Dabo. Dabo Sweeney. So Clemson at 8-1. Dangerous football team, very good football team. I am a little bit, you know, I was looking at their schedule. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of, you know, whatever. It's kind of cupcake-ish, but it really isn't. You get to the end. You got to deal with Notre Dame, Miami of Florida, South Carolina. Little tricky. 8-1. The USC Trojans are 20-1. You know, USC are a polarizing team. In which you'll hear a lot of people say, oh, USC's offense is going to be great, but their defense won't be able to stop anybody. They are going to be in a lot of track meets, but if you look at USC's schedule, it is very manageable. Like, there's a couple of games, like, there's only a few games on the schedule where you're like, well, yeah, that team is probably better than they are. Listen, we got to give the Utah Utes the benefit of the doubt. That game's in Utah, too. So USC is going to be extremely tough in that game. They don't play the Ducks. They do play Notre Dame. That's about it. That's about it. So I think, you know what? I think people, as crazy as it sounds, people might be sleeping on the USC Trojans a little bit. They might be overestimating the defensive problems that this team is going to have. It's not easy for everybody to come together. The Trojans really are like a mercenary team right now. Like, Lincoln Riley went all out transfer portal. You got dudes like, it's, you know, everyone talks about, like, you know, the Oklahoma guys and stuff, but the Trojans are one of these teams now. Like, you're like, oh, what, they got that guy? Really? You know what I mean? Like, they got guys like from the Ducks, the Die kid, the running back, the bowling ball running back kid split. Like, they got a million transfers on this team. I think, listen, at 20-1, and I almost, is Sooner Lisa still here? I hope she went to bed. We love Sooner Lisa, but I hope she's not here because she's going to get angry. Because you know what's crazy, though, but at the same point in time, how the hell do you not take Oklahoma at 50-1? And who wouldn't want to see that? Who wouldn't want to see Oklahoma versus USC in the college football playoff? Playing against each other. Like, seriously. And don't think it couldn't happen. Like, if you look at the odds board here, all right, Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia. Alabama and Georgia could both make the playoff. I'm not sure they will. They could both, but they play each other. You could also argue they're going to knock each other off, but there is kind of a standard status quo that two teams from the SEC always get in now. as I said, Ohio State could stumble. I think people might be discounting Michigan a little bit too much, actually, coming into this year. But look, there's like four teams. You got Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, and Clemson. All right, so you're telling me what? It's impossible that all these teams, you know, they're all going to go undefeated. Nothing's going to happen along the way. No, these teams will lose. They're going to lose along the way. Maybe not all four of them, but three of them, two of them. Like, you know, someone's going to stumble. And then you get USC, Texas A&M, Oklahoma. Those are the next three wave. USC's 20-1. Texas A&M 25-1. And then there's the drop. Oklahoma's 50-1. Notre Dame is 60-1. Michigan is 60-1. Michigan have a very manageable schedule this year. You know, like some are calling it a soft schedule. Call it what you want. It's a manageable and schedule that they can win some football games. Michigan's offense is going to be very good. And I think people might also be, you know, listen, it's not taking anything away from Hutchinson. It's not taking anything away from Ajabo. They're great players. But college football, like, goes on without you. Yeah, I mean, there's a new good, great player coming up next. Like, that's how it works. Right, that's why you recruit. That's how it rolls. So, you know, yeah, Hutchinson was a badass. Ajabo was a badass. Well, they'll have new badasses, right? They'll have new badasses now. And they'll also be way better on offense, more, you know, even better on offense. And their offense is pretty good last year. So I think people could be slaying Michigan at 60-1. This is the neighborhood that I'm interested in. You know, USC at 20-1, you could say, wow, why are they 20-1? And Oklahoma are 50-1, Notre Dame are 60-1, and Michigan are 60-1. Because USC's schedule is a hell of a lot easier. USC need to beat the Utah Utes, and they need to beat Notre Dame, UCLA, and, you know, and they need to do it in a title game again. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late night anger management class. Quickest 100 minutes in sports talk radio. Overnight play. We do like the Friars in the morning. You Darvish on the hill. Let's pull the trigger with the road team and San Diego. There's a quick pick for you. Here's a pick, too, for those of you that were paying attention earlier in the evening, or maybe you missed it if you're just joining us now on the way out here. But we had ProFootballPFF.com's Pro Football Focus's Anthony Trache with us. And Anthony is their lead college football guy, and he dropped something, but we were out of time. I wanted to get to it, and you know, the team here, and massive odds, guys, massive odds. The Houston Cougars. Remember last year it was Cincinnati. They made the playoffs last year, Cincinnati, right? The Houston Cougars were right there with them. And the Houston Cougars are loaded. The Houston Cougar basketball program, we know how dangerous they are. And the Houston Cougar football program is somewhat of a, I'd like to call it a sleeping giant, right? But I, as a Giant, you know, as a Giant's a strong word. I mean, we're talking about statues earlier, but it's a sleeping monster. Let's call it that. Like the Houston Cougars, they've got boosters, they've got money, they've got the flashy offense that kids will play for them. Now, you know, Texas are coming in hot here with the NILs and stuff like that, but the Houston Cougars are a dangerous football team, a manageable schedule, and they're 300-1. Like, that's in there. Like, wow. Like, that's wow. And we all talk about, I'm not down with hedging and stuff, but yeah. Well, you get this type of number. Yeah, when you, so what? You put $100 on the Houston Cougars. $100 on the Houston Cougars to win $30,000. Are the Houston Cougars going to win a championship? No, but you'll be, you know, this will be a pretty nice bet when they're like 11-0 and 12-0 and knocking on the door, getting in the playoffs. $100, $30,000, bailout special. Other than that, you're on your own. Later. Everything must go.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.